teaching from the Department of Higher Education and Training and his electorate. I would also like to welcome officials from the provinces, because we had invited officials from Department of Education of Northwest, Northern Cape and Mpumalanga. I'd like to welcome the other education and training stakeholders, TV and college stakeholders, media and the members of the public. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we had to converge here this morning to look at how we are doing with regard to the migration process. And I take it that this is timely because we expect this to take off with effect from April. So it was just about time that we met so that we can engage and recommend where we think we need to recommend, and then we take the process forward. Well, just to serve as a reminder, on the 12th of November 2014, the Portfolio Committee got a briefing from the Minister, officials from the Department of Higher Education and Training, and other stakeholders in the sector on the migration of adult education and training, and even colleges. And today's meeting is a follow-up to the meeting we had last year. It is important to highlight some of the key issues emanating from that meeting, which include inadequate funding of the function shift, inadequate human resource capacity in the Department of Higher Education and Training to manage the function shift, delayed by the provinces in transferring assets and funds for the function shift, need for establishment of the provincial technical task team to monitor the migration process, and other related matters. We hope that the Department of Higher Education and Training has made progress in addressing the concerns raised by the Portfolio Committee in the previous meeting. As you might be aware, TVET colleges and other education and training centers have been largely managed by the Provincial Education Department, although the proclamation to transfer them to the Department of Higher Education and Training was made by the President in 2009. This arrangement has had its fair share of challenges. This was clear in our oversight visit when we discovered that the deputy principals were not remunerated at the same level. Some deputy principals were remunerated at level 11, and others were remunerated at level 12. We are certain that this would not have happened if the TVET colleges were managed at a central point, that is by the Department of Higher Education and Training. I think this emphasizes the wisdom of the proclamation and also of the decision to transfer the TVET colleges to the Department of Higher Education and Training. It is evident that provincial education departments had different policies when it came to appointing deputy principals. Prioritization of the function shift is therefore long overdue, so that cases like these and other related cases can be speedily resolved, or so that there can be a standardization of these issues. We are aware that by the 1st of April 2015, the migration process will be done, and all TVET and AET staff will have migrated to the Department of Higher Education and Training. I am looking forward to a serious engagement that will steer the migration process in the right direction, and also to its logical conclusion. known as Pinky Posa. My official name is Yvonne, though. Thank you very much. Then, Ms. Killian.
Good morning. My name is Julie Killian. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Swangin and Tom, a member of the committee from the ASC.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Swelehead, member of the committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ngadmin Frida, member of the program.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mike Shishonga. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning. My name is Jesus Kessler, member of the committee.
Thank you.
Morning, Elizabeth Zoe, member of the committee.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Nikki Kana. We work the committee from the ANC.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lipumba. I'm a member of the committee from the EFF. Since everybody is declared in the ANC,
should have asked for permission from me. Okay, thank you very much. It was a nice note. And then I will then request the DG to guide us with regard to introductions on your members.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. My name is Webb Cornett from the Department of Higher Education and Training. And I will request a delegation from the department to assist in introducing themselves.
Good morning. My name is Lulama Mbogo. I'm the Deputy Director General in the Department of Practice and Training, responsible for corporate services.
Good morning. My name is Feroz Patel. I'm the Deputy for Planning and also the Function Chief Liaison Officer, mandated by the Minister.
Good morning. My name is Feroz Patel.
We want to check if everybody has a name, especially from our guests. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Ian Sturgis, CFO, Higher Education and Training.
Thank you.
Good morning, David Yale, Director of Education and Training.
Thank you.
Good morning, David Mujiba, Curriculum Development Support Visit for the AGT.
Thank you.
Morning, Musis of Lanin, PLO, Office of the Deputy Minister.
Thank you.
Number the Supplement, PLO, the Minister.
Thank you. Is that all from the department?
Morning.
Okay.
Oblum Corina from the Office of the Director General.
Thank you.
Good morning, Udana Nolan from the Deputy Minister.
Thank you. Let's proceed in that order.
Good morning. I'm Yuri Sam, representative of the Public Service Servants Association, PFA.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Robin Phillips from the Northern Cape Department of Education, acting senior manager for GVET Colleges in LEG.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for coming.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Fritzo Demolema. I'm the executive of the Department of Education and Sport Development Complex.
Thank you very much, sir.
My name is Shukunti Mukam, Director of HRA, Department of Education and Sport Development Complex.
Thank you.
My colleagues, I am Reverend Mikwe from the Rural Education Department, AIDS Director, Program Official at the SFL Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend.
Good morning. My name is Mohamed Kiyadile, Chief Director, HRM and Development, Northwest Department of Education and Cross Development.
Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Anil Kandigeri. I'm the conservator.
Thank you. Good morning, my name is Mampamu Diva. Thank you.
Fanny Bona, I'm going to call you for the seventh committee.
Thank you. Well, I'm Tumi Majori, committee assistant. Thank you very much. I think we're done, and then say over to you and the gentleman over there.
Good morning, my name is Mike Majakekan, researcher for the photo committee basic education.
Thank you very much. And then over to you, sir.
Hi. Leon Newman from the HAU, the unit that organizes the first cooling center.
So if I may also ask you to come here, I really want to have a closer engagement with you. Otherwise, it's very far from us. Please come closer. Thank you very much. Sorry for any inconvenience caused. You can shift. Come closer. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. I think we now know who is in this house, and once more, welcome. This is our meeting, and I know that you brought your best inputs that will assist this meeting so that it comes to conclusion that will push and take the work at hand to new heights. So we'll now move over to apologies, which is three. Are there any apologies? Let me check from the department. Any apologies from the department?
The cabinet is sitting. That's the apology in respect to both the ministers and the deputy minister.
Okay, we have received written apologies, but thank you very much that you have raised this matter. Any other apologies from the department? None. We will then move over to the the secretary must guide us. Who else apologizes?
Prof. Kubisa is attending the committee.
Professor Kubisa is attending the other committee. They're both sitting at the same time. And then, did you get any apology from officials from Mpumalanga because I did not hear them introducing themselves?
No.
No apology from Mpumalanga, right? Upset. Okay, shall we then proceed? Do we accept the apology? Yes, it should be. Thank you very much. So we move on to item number 4, which is briefing by the Department of Higher Education and Training on Progress Report in the Function Sheet of Adult Education and Training at the TVET Colleges. We request at this table to come so that you can benefit in terms of the presentation. Thank you very much. Come down.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. This is the process that has been going on for intense 6 years. We spent about 2 years just on legislation on the function sheet. And thereafter, we deal with quite a number of very intense and complicated issues. But today, I think it's quite important to indicate that we've been receiving these functions without some pertinent information that we should have received from all provinces in respect of staff liabilities related to leave, furthering, loans, and other related matters. But we have worked out mechanisms such that any information that is still outstanding will be making those follow-ups quite intensely.
such that from the 1st of April, May, whilst that pesticide is still being effected, those staff members in those respective provinces will still be paid on the payroll of those provinces, and they will claim from the department for reinvestment. I think it's important to highlight that point. And the question of the asset register, we are working hard on it as well, but we give some details. But I think it's important to note, especially by the members, that the funds allocated as determined by the National Treasury are not sufficient. But I think those details will demonstrate them in the presentation. But we think, despite we will be able to go through the threshold and manage the processes beyond the 1st of April, because it has to happen. And there won't be any other time where we could be saying everything is actually done insofar as some of the engagements that need to take place in respect of certain provinces, as well as negotiating our way with the National Treasury in order for them to take into consideration those budget shortfalls. But I think the experience we had in the entire process, not all provinces really took this matter with seriousness and defense. I think it's one unfortunate, you know, aspect of it. But where to live and work within those circumstances and mitigating as to how to overcome the constraints that were on our way, and some on our way. But I'll request Mr. Feroz Patel to take us through the presentation, which will be looking at this matter
So then it's all systems go on the 1st of April 2015. So basically that outlines this whole slide number 3 and slide number 4 outline that particular process, as well as slide number 5. Chair, on slide number 6, so it was legislation and number 3 was protocols. Protocols between the Minister of Higher Education and the Director General separately with ABC and Head of Department in Provinces. Now these protocols are not just MOAs or whatever else. In terms of the Intergovernmental Relations Act, when spheres of government interact with each other, in the absence of it being spheres of government, but spheres that all spheres of government commit to work within that framework of the Intergovernmental Relations Act, to work cooperatively and collaboratively. So those protocols were retained, and one can see that in regards to the Tibet implementation protocols, a number of provinces at different points concluded the process, starting off with the Eastern Cape on 31 January 2012 and KwaZulu Natal on the 12th of October 2013. So too was the GGHOD protocols with Free State on the 15th of November 2012 and Northwest on the 15th of February 2013. We then had to amend the protocols because we could not make the date of 1st April 2014. And so there was another batch of protocols. Northwest submitted theirs earliest, that is 26th March, and 10th of March for the HOD. And Eastern came in last with 28th January 2014, and both for the MEC and the HOD. That was quite a month ago. Now, all the protocols are signed. The agreement is that we will cooperate, that provinces will ensure, because they are the owners and the repository of information, that they will provide the site of information for this to happen. That was the commitment. And the commitment in the protocol, the obligation was that they have to submit annexures detailed information that has an impact on functionality. Clearly, the owners of this information are provinces. Provinces were also required to appoint functionality liaison officers in terms of the protocol, a mandated person acting on behalf of the minister, that's myself, and acting on behalf of the ABC's functionality liaison officers. That was not forthcoming until very late last year, that we finally got to those particular names. But chairperson, officials in the provincial education department have been providing us with information around the annexures. But unfortunately, they were not signed up by the HOD. For them to have legal force, and in terms of compliance with the legislation, the head of department had to commit to be able to sign those off. But nonetheless, we've tried everything. Even the minister and the Council of Education ministers, it was quite instructive that it was not a single MEC. In some cases, the many officials that are affected by this partnership, for example, a head of an AF unit or head of an F unit attended these meetings, and they were not mandated particularly big decisions because they themselves were. So then those were some of the challenges. However, Jefferson, the law says 1st of April 2015, whatever information we have at our disposal, we will manage it. And so the DG has written to the HOD saying, your officials have provided us with this information. We take it that this is the information we must work on. Minister of Education, both the figures that we calculated and what National Treasury has allocated correspond to 100%. 2.8 million. And not only teaching, 1.78 million. So as far as services in regard to learning and teaching is concerned, that isn't going to be, I mean, we've got it. Here comes the big issue in adult education and training examinations. Now, adult education training examination is your GEDC, grade 9 certificate that people outside school under adult education write. The system that counselors were delivering papers daily to these centers, were collecting scripts, were setting up marketing centers, which were doing the registration. Our estimation was much more than double that particular amount. So that's one great thing, that it's a risk, and we will elaborate further how we're dealing with the risk. Our senior levies were 65. Our calculation on the personnel cost, the 1% for senior is estimated at 65 million. The tax that we got from the provinces is 45 million. So there is a shortfall, but that shortfall, we are working with National Treasury, because that shortfall is located within the college employees. That is college employees, and we will be able to account for that 10 million rent in our discussions with National Treasury, as well as with our colleges, because colleges are the employees of workers that are going to become state.
Chairman, can I disturb you for a minute? The document that I have handed, page number 19, and I've checked with the committee secretariat. There is one you brought this morning and the one you gave us a week ago. It ends at number 19. We are now at number 24 on your pages.
No,
slide 24. Oh, okay.
So it means we'll be on page 12, honorable member, then slide 27.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. So that basically is the budget cut. So the pressure really is on administration and on examinations. Now, on slide number 25, that's on page 13, we have key milestones that have been reached. We have a signed and ratified TIBET collective agreement with educators. For educators as well as support staff, in other words, how they are able to move. In terms of a collective agreement, there is a national implementation task team made up of representatives of trade unions as well as departmental officials who manage the particular process and ensure that the collective agreement is implemented to the letter. So a lot of those particular queries around the identification. Now, the purpose of the collective agreement is, how do we move staff that are employed by the college into the employ of the state? How do we move from the college? How do we get identified? Because we must remember, colleges also have their own income. A number of them get funds from companies like CESO. Others have income via the CETA. So they do, and the legislation allows them to employ their own. Except that currently they employ all the lecturers. However, in terms of the legislation, a core lecturer teaching the program quality mix that has been approved by the minister will be funded by the state. So we have to identify, even in the college that has 150 employees, promises into the national system. Now, you know, prison is not one system that works whether it's written in the provinces or in the department. You have different bureaus managing personnel. But it's very easy because it's one key code that you're going to put in. If you're employed by Northwest, put in the code, you're transferred to the Department of Higher Education and Training, and all the records in terms of the personnel system will continue. However, we did struggle to be able to get access to this. If honorable members know that this year we have no money, except 10 million rand that National Treasury has made available to administer the function shift. So we have been doing all this work within the current resources that we particularly have. So we have managed to now scrape up, lend, and borrow computers. We set up an operations room. We currently every service people are sitting and captured. So we will have no problem in regards to all those college personnel to put on the question. As the DC indicated, there are three provinces that have not done it programmatically. They are controlling of their funds. National Treasury allowed it to be done programmatically with one press of a button, and all those records have been on our side. But unfortunately, those three provinces have not done it, so they will have to do manually. Every single one of them. Two of the provinces are under 500, and I think that's not taken off with. But the Eastern Cape has a large number. The consequences are that those people still sit on the provincial personnel system. And they will have to be paid out through that system in terms of salaries. We will then get provinces having to compensate them, and then we will reinvest it into the funds our numbers. So that's in terms of the administration. On page 40, then slide number 28, I just move on to the update on community education and training colleges. Now, the last national policy of community colleges has been presented to consultation. Public comments have been obtained and analyzed. The revised policy is being prepared for approval by the minister. Now, Chairperson, this policy, and I need to a little bit here, this front of the ASS is coming over, but there's a whole brand new issue, and then it's sort of the task that they're dealing with. They're also going to deal with the piloting of centers, and the task team is composed of AS stakeholders, that's universities, NGOs, a lot of learning networks, and other stakeholders, and also organizations to be engaged through the bargaining process. But I'm sure that they also welcome into the task team, because they will deal with concepts that education and training is a particular method, and not necessarily on a bargaining issues. So, where are our brand new colleges going to be? We're going to have a college called the Eastern Cape Community Education and Training College at the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University. In the Free State, at the University of Free State. In Gauteng, the Influence Development Education Center will be the hub of the community college. So the governance structure will be there, following major administration. While soon the tell at the Durban University of Technology, the POPO, the Ethnic Institute for Education, Pumalanga, Gangala Tibet College, Northern Cape, the Northern Cape Rural Tibet College, Northwest Ethnic Institute for Education, and in the West Cape, the Elgin Community College. Now, let's look at numbers 16, page 16, or slide number 30. In terms of, 31, sorry. In terms of the number of posts, we must differentiate between posts and people. Posts get transferred when they get transferred with the money in the essence. And then people, either they come with people or they come without people. So the principals and the deputy principals are already employed by the minister. They will also now be paid by provinces, but from the 1st of April, we will be managing their payment. The provincial TVET staff is 170 posts. College staff 16,962. So the total staff will be 17,289. In AF, whether AF is not a problem because they're all on personnel, and beds, and then, you know, those staff just problematically were quite easy. So the AF units in provinces, 352, and the posts from teaching and support in AFS, 18,212. That
you, Mr. Patel, am I right?
Hello.
I'm right. Okay. We just want to check if the DG has something to add or want us to proceed straight away with the discussion of the presentation.
Okay, for this.
Okay. All right. We will now proceed with the discussion. I will then request actually Ms. Killian, Professor Kozoli's hand. And then, okay. All right, and then Ms. Vladimir, Mr. Kasim, Mr. Suela, Ms. Mkulu, and Mr. Macha. That's okay, and then Mr. Ketan, in that order. Ms. Killian?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, thank you for a very comprehensive presentation. If I may, my only criticism is the blue colour. Now, I don't know if everybody follows the issue of the blue-red, but blue sometimes it reflects difficult to read, especially when there's a lot of information. So just as far as that is concerned, but that's just on a lighter note. Especially on slide where there is a lot of blue, you know, the principal. I just wanted to ask, obviously this is one of those processes where it is best that different spheres of government cooperate because we are all having the same interest of the public at heart, and that is namely the development of the people. Whether it is administered on provincial level or on national level. So it is a pity that after this long protracted period, 6 years, there appears to have been unwillingness or perhaps an inability to present. Now it could be a mix, it could be in some cases it could be deliberate withholding of some information. In other cases it could be incapacity. So I don't want to ascribe specific motives to the relevant department, but it is significant if we see which of the provinces cooperate up to a level with the protocols, at least not with the annexes, but with the protocols, then it is significant to see that in those cases where we have had very serious challenges provincially as far as administration is concerned, they are also those who did not even come on board quickly on the signing of the protocol. Jefferson, I have concern with regard to the annexes and the legal implications of that. And I would like to know, and that's why I prefaced my input, the basis of it would have been best if we could resolve the matter. I'm just concerned that this process could result in a very serious financial challenge for the department, financially as well as administratively. Whereas we have specific sectors, higher education sector, university sector, we have challenges there, etc. This sector, the TVET migration as well as the AA migration, is so important, but it could place such a burden on the department. Now, I'm concerned legally, what is the position? I have heard that you said the same law advisors are on board. My concern is with regards to people with leave benefits that have accrued over years. Where would that financial implication rest? Will that come over with the individual to the Department of Higher Education? Will you have to in future years budget for that as well? Secondly, if we look, you are on slide 33, you're talking about the possible staff. Now, you're working on guesstimates at present. You have good information, but not formally signed off. And from what I can see, none of the provincial departments, HLE, have signed off. So legally, the
have not committed themselves. So, will the necessary, when the function shift appears on, comes about on the 1st of April, is the Department of Higher Education adequately covered as far as financial qualifications are concerned? Are you working very closely with the AHE and the National Treasury on this matter? Because if you are saying that some of the staff members are now making themselves available and you had difficulty to get the information out to the provincial department, but some of them are now coming to the fore, obviously they realize that they will be in good hands. But the problem is, with them comes additional financial responsibility. Will the department be ready for all of that? If you can also just deal with a matter of the personal. My last question relates to the matter of capturing of personal information. Can you please just inform the committee of the measures that you have in place to ensure that we actually capture accurate information and that there is a verification process to ensure that we don't load additional people on the system that actually some ghosts are relocated from provincial departments onto the Department of Higher Education. How do we check and verify that? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gillian. Next.
Thank you. I'm even more worried than Ms. Gillian. We have to think, why do we have colleges? We have them to teach people, to teach students. I've hardly heard a single word here mentioned of the effect of all of this on the students. Are they going to find that they don't have teachers? Are they going to find they don't have classrooms? Are they going to find they don't get any tickets or that it takes them longer than they're already taking? And are we then going to see student protests and riots in colleges where these things are all failed? I think serious consideration needs to be given to this problem, I'm a little worried that it hasn't been considered. Second point is, this is in a way typical of the department today, and that is they're trying to do a huge, enormous job on not enough money. I'm just not sure whether this is fair on the sector to be doing this without enough people. You're probably all working 24 hours a day trying to get it done, and even then you won't be able to get it done. When I look at the way you have assessed your risk, it's good that you've done risk assessment, although nowhere again are students mentioned. But your mitigation strategies really are very weak. Some of your mitigation, it's not mentioned in mitigation, some of your idea of mitigation just say, oh, well, it's the province's fault. That's just not going to cut it when it comes to a crisis in a college. And that is, the department saying it's the province's fault and the province saying it's the department's fault, and meantime the college is burning. So it seems to me that one mitigation strategy you might want to think about is to have a hit squad from, say, the last week of March right through April and May, which goes from college to college, sorting out problems in emergency mode at the minute they arrive. Otherwise, I don't think you're going to get absolute disaster. You haven't mentioned the labour relations cases that are also a problem in terms of the function shift, because of the 400 cases, we do need to know how many of those have now been solved. But from what I understand from the answer to a parliamentary question I put in, the whole labour relations issue has been sort of stalled, because one of the people charged with corruption has claimed that you don't have the legal authority to take them to court because the 1st of April has not yet come. So again, on the 1st of
then I want to know in which positions are those foreign appointed, and where it's going, what is going to happen with them also. And then last one, what are the challenges in regard to reaching agreement of funds to be shifted to the head in program 1 and 9 in the Northern Cape? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just about three questions. The first question is around the outstanding TVH protocol initiatives. I'm not completely clarified on, for example, when was this required of the provinces, when were they asked to submit, and what are the implications if these are not done before the 1st of April. And I did understand that in the long term there are implications, there are conflicts that arise, and any litigation that arises. But what are then the implications for the provinces that have not or do not meet deadlines in this regard? And more than sending the letter from the minister, are there any punitive measures that are being considered or have already been put in place in order to expedite this process? My second question is around the implications of non-compliance as communicated by the minister to MECs, exactly what those implications are, and what was exactly, just very briefly, communicated by the minister. And my last question, as it relates to the TVET colleges, a colleague has spoken about these courts. I do agree that, you know, you have to get the administration right, but at the same time, these colleges must be able to function on their own. They must be able to be successful. I know, for example, at the moment, the East Cape Midlands College in the Eastern Cape, there's this huge student protest and very dangerous, etc. This is not an isolated case. But I also believe that the DG, and I'd like the DG to answer this, has appointed specific individuals on rolling 3-month contracts, if I'm not mistaken, to go into specific colleges or colleges within the province as a whole to try and fix things or to oversee certain things. I want to keep clarity on that because I haven't seen that in any report to the committee. I want to get clarity if there are individuals that have been appointed by the DG that do have 3-month contracts that have been renewed, for example, that have gone from certain universities into colleges, acting as campus or college principals, for example, or to oversee colleges more widely within a province and to report to the DG. I want to know if this has taken place, but I know of at least one incident where it has. I want to know until what point and what is the strategy here with the department and from the DG, because I believe, for example, this contract then rolls over, it's renewed for another 3 months, and then it's then assessed as to whether or not the colleges need further support. And then the last thing that I want to ask is for transparency on the matter. Who exactly are the individuals that are appointed on these contracts? How are these individuals appointed? And what exactly is their role or job description in terms of the contractual agreements with the department? And this is in every single province. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Swenerson.
Thank you for the opportunity. The presentation paints a picture of a department that has done everything possible to make sure that there is a smooth process
to Ms. Mutunu. I just want to check Mr. Chichoma. Your hand was not up, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Mutunu.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to accept the conditions and say that I also have a concern with regard to outstanding protocol initiatives. Over and above the questions that have been asked with regard to that, I would like the department to share with us what were the problems of the department's education reason for non-compliance. That's what I think is important. And also to know whether the department is still prepared to provide an opportunity for these PDEs to submit the outstanding information. On slide 15, it appears that the department requested 10 million, requested 8 million, but only 10 million was approved for the final function sheet. What implications will this have on the current and future operations of the department, especially with taking over TVET colleges, the AET centers, and future establishment of community colleges? I still think that it is important to have these community colleges because they will assist in catering for the adults and the young people whom we know that most of them are unemployed, some not studying or poorly educated. It is indeed a good move for the department. Last question is on data capture. It has been asked by my colleagues. I would also like to know, just for you to share with us the ways and means of avoiding ghost employees. In Zulu, we call them isibogi. Please speak to your verification process. Thank you.
Thank you. We now move over to Mr. Mata.
Thank you. Thanks, Chairperson. My first question would be on the establishment of the community colleges, or what you called adult education centers. I'm quite puzzled by your choice of establishment, meaning the institution in the Western Cape Krapo. What informed that? It looks too away from the density of what you would most likely call the central geopolitical space. And then, generally, on the migration, you have done very well. However, I am worried about the annexure of Eastern Cape and Limpopo. And historically, this was supposed to be both an administrative process at a mid-level level and the DG together with the entire department and head of department in various education departments in the provinces. It should have never taken this long if it was planned correctly. With both the monetary and the political level and the speed of the administration with all the things that needed to be done. Yeah. I'm also puzzled. I'm led to understand that majority of the provinces are under the leadership of the ANC, with maybe the exception of the Western Cape. Why this resistance from people that like-minded people would have understood the policy culture, policy direction, and the stated assumptions of what you want to try?
Before we come in?
Because it's both political and also administrative. It's a cause, it's a specific cause.
Mr. Mbata, may I request that we address ourselves on admin issues? Because see, these members on my left hand side might not be able to respond to political questions.
What I'm trying to establish exactly is, even though there were points of resistance, but it was not supposed to be at this level. That would be my last question.
Are you done? Thank you, Mr. Bata. Mr. Peter?
Chair, the first question is on the protocol. I just want to hear the DCG's comment about this thing of people who have signed the protocol, that those that come from provinces, I mean, now that we are a unitary state and not a federal state, what are the implications of the maybe make aware that the unitary state, in a unitary state, the central government supersedes all the spheres of government. And I'm sure there are quite implications there. The second thing is on the community colleges. We are very enthusiastic about community colleges because we thought, especially for co-ops, I know of women's co-ops where you've got 30 women who are doing, say, churches. And just the process of sharing profit is not an easy thing. They might have the skill to do churches, to manufacture churches, but to run a co-op, to share salaries, one person who's run after 20 years, after others have been running the co-op, how do you distribute the income there? I mean, I know in Israel about 25% of Israel's economy is run by Djibouti co-ops. Transport system, the whole transport system is run by co-ops. But they are taught how to run a co-op. So the community colleges, can they, right from the word go, start training people how to run co-ops and generate income and share property? Because some of them collapse, not because they are not successful, simply because they don't just know how to run a co-op. The last question is on the staff again. When you said, I was apprehensive when you said some of the staff might find themselves without social space. I mean, where we come from, we see a lot of government buildings that are empty. Say, for example, when a mall is built in Jamlani Mall, the old post office is there in the huge area, and the post office has moved into the mall. The old one is just adjacent to the mall, which is empty. The same applies to police station. When it took the new police station was built, the old Tiplup police station was empty. So I'm just saying all these empty buildings, they are there. Can they be utilized through public works because it is a custodian of government assets? It is worrying that you see a lot of empty buildings and the community wants to use them. And then at the same time, shortage of office space. Thank you.
Thank you very much for all the questions raised. Professor Pozzoli, I just want to check if I understood you correctly. Heat squat, or you wanted to heat the ground running? Did I understand you correctly? Are you sure you want to reconsider a heat squat?
Okay, a nice heat squat.
Yes.
It's aimed at the problem, not the people.
Yeah, okay. All right. No, that's fine. Thank you very much. DG, I'll request you to coordinate your responses.
No, thank you very much.
But before you come in, for the two questions that were directed to Northwest, may I request that we defer them to after they have done their presentation? Agreed? All right. Thanks. Over to you.
No, thank you very much. Can I appeal upfront that the honorable member should look at the pertinent challenges in respect of the functional safety, not in isolation to the challenge in the sector as a whole that we are actually dealing with at institutional level as well as in respect to support systems to effect good governance as well as improved teaching and learning in these areas. I think it's important to locate the discussions that we're having at the present moment in that context. On the other hand, also, not in isolation with the intervention strategy that we've put in place as a department, insofar as how we bolster governance, how we ensure that effective and efficient teaching and learning is taking place at institutional level. Because all those considerations and processes are actually there, up and functioning. But functionship is just one administrative component within that context. I want to make that appeal to the members. Now, in respect to mitigation, we have a rapid response team, which is highly mobile. We didn't call it his squad. It is in place. In actual fact, some of the pertinent intelligent information that we are processing, which is happening very close on the ground, they've contributed a lot. These are the flashpoints. This is what we think should be done in mitigating them. So we are working with them quite closely on an ongoing basis, and that is happening at the present. So teaching and learning, not mentioning it here, it's not an indication that it's not prime in our considerations and our operations on daily basis. As a matter of fact, it's the first area that we attended to, including the review of curriculum in respect of TVET colleges across the sector. And enhancing the teaching enrollment in artisanal programs in the country across both in the public as well as in the private space, as we think is contributing quite fruitfully in the training and production of artisans in the country. And all these efforts are done in order to foster teaching and learning at an institutional level. Individuals who are appointed on the 3-month contract, I don't know any individuals that were appointed on 3-month contract to move one out, unless the honorable member can substitute that for a bit. But we don't have that in the operations of the department at the present moment. I'll ask my colleagues to get into detail in respect to other questions.
Thank you, JJ. Look, in regards to financial challenges, we have to look at what is voters. We can't they're not going to come aboard with an order function ship. In regards to teaching and learning, to the Honorable Professor Buzoli, you see, one of the most interesting issues of this function shift is that our colleges are loosely coupled systems, and they operate in spite of challenges and issues. And as an
Your sentence
moved to the PhD, we are communicating, you know, with the college president to say they must encourage people to sort it out, but it's not a condition for them not to be transferred or to be transferred to the department, although it is indeed a requirement. On the question of foreign educators, unfortunately here, the person, will not accept an employee without a valid permit. So such educators, if they do exist, we will not be able to appoint them on the PESAR system. They will have to be assisted to get their work permit. There was a question around the qualified educators. There are collective agreements that have been entered into between the department and the union in regard to, you know, the permanency of staff in FT colleges. Some of these colleagues are not qualified. We agree that they have to be qualified first in order to be made permanent into the department. And what is happening now, they are appointed by colleges on a contract basis until they get their qualifications. The department is also having other programs in place through the universities and the university branch to improve the qualifications of educators. And these lecturers are part of that program. There was a question around the period. Let me also go into the period of evaluation cases. The practical agreement says 12 months from the transfer date. So as I said, we will resolve them by the first month 2016. On the verification and the both employees, the person, what is happening is that we have an individual staff verification form for all 38,000 employees that will be transferred to the department. They were completed by employees, they were signed off by employees with information that is required for us to verify. We are centralizing the head studies, especially for functions that are highly functions. For instance, appointments on the system, those processes should be centralized going forward. We want to devolve such hiring functions to colleges. Colleges will have viewing facilities on the side, but not appointments. They will capture leave, but they will not be able to amend leave. I just want to make examples for the controls that we are putting in place. This year we are planning, in the new financial year, when we get the new budget, we will embark on a biometric verification process, where all employees that are transferred to the department will be required to verify and will use a fingerprint system to do such. The last one, which is also a control. On a quarterly basis, we conduct leave audits in the department. And they are saying that the ghost never takes leave. So ghosts will never sign leave forms. So if there is no place, a person who never goes on leave, then that is a case you have in this case. Why the person is not taking leave? Because both don't sign leave forms. So that is one measure that we'll be using you know, to also detect whether they are both employees or not. On the question of the MD government buildings, maybe the DG can also, or we will see with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is with regards to your community colleges. Perhaps let me start with Member Ekana's comment, which is around the support of co-ops. I think the intention of establishing this community college is precisely that they will play a major role in community development. So the issue of co-ops is one of the issues that this particular community college is with regards to Member Mata, the choice of establishment, please note that this is the first rollout of the establishment of community colleges. And these colleges and the facilities where we identify their location is simply because of a range of engagements with appreciate our own public lending centers around office space for hosting these community colleges. The intention is that obviously there will be a rollout of these community colleges and municipal districts as they are in the institutional landscape unfolds. So this is just one process that we then need to undertake. So the choice is not meant to therefore limit the rollout in the rest of the province, but this is a start. With regards to Member Bozo's point around how are the colleges going to deal with different learners, one is to look at the different programs that the college is meant to offer. Because if you look at Census 2011, clearly there are those learners who are out of school who do not have the primary schooling at all. Some of them have learned primary, but we go further. Some of them require the equivalent of senior secondary provision. So obviously, because of the nature of those needs, you must have then different programs to deal with those kinds of things. Chair, so, those are the three issues about community colleges. Thanks.
It does look like we've done with...
Yeah, no, the one question is outstanding. Yeah, in respect to the last question, of the utilization of government empty buildings. Because we are a poor department in every respect, we explore quite a number of options that could be available. One of the considerations in this matter, the minister has met with the Minister of Public Works and they've discussed this matter quite extensively. And they've agreed on the process into taking this matter forward. That then came as an instruction to me by the Minister of Higher Education and Training into working with the DT of the Department of Public Works, into putting up a process of identifying all the unutilized or unused government buildings across the country, with the view in the main of looking at addressing the challenges in respect of student accommodation, but not exclusively that matter. Generally for use in the post-school education and training as a whole. So we're working on that process. And I think when that is done, we'll be able to put it out there and the recommendations in respect to what we have established, what is reserved, and for what purpose. After the two ministers have actually signed off on the outcome of that particular process. But it's a matter now that we are working hard on it, amongst other things.
We're done. Thank you very much for the responses. Now let's look at our time. It doesn't look like we have enough time. We still have got two presentations by the two colleges. Did I say colleges? Okay, sorry, provinces. Thank you very much. Now I am going to change the ground rules now. I'm going to reduce the three questions into one. But then as members engage, may you get short into the point, cut out your presence, and then go straight to the question. Thank you very much. Now I see hands. Are these follow-up questions? Are these follow-up questions? All right. One. Okay? And then we then proceed to the other presentations. Thank you very much. Over to Mr. Chishonga and Professor Kozoli and Ms. Nkulu. Follow-up questions.
My name is follow-up.
Okay. Let's entertain the follow-up questions. Professor Kozoli.
I'd like to
gather an estimate from the department that there are 38,000 people being transferred, I think that's the figure you mentioned. How many are not being transferred because you think they are ghost employees?
My name is with regards to the Western Cape where funds were transferred to private education institutions. I was just wondering if the department can transfer students to government institutions that are funding privately owned sectors.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Short responses to the follow-up question. Okay.
Just on that one, also the legal ramifications. If funds are transferred, how is it being accounted for?
Thank you. Short responses. And Gigi?
Thank you. The Celtic one from Ghost.
You have Ghost in the town.
The first thing is Ghost is fancy them generally. In regards to the AS question, the difficulty is that learning teaching is occurring at the moment in those particular centers. So in order not to disrupt learning and teaching, and because of administrative act, we have to provide fair notice to them. We only got to know all this 2 weeks ago. So the issue is that we will not use public funds, but we will have to look at continuity for this particular year through the National Skills Funds to be able to ensure that there's continuity of service through those lands. But by next year, clearly we will have resolved that particular matter.
And
Japan
is it's very difficult for us to say there are so many goals. We will only book after 1 year. However, what I can maybe report on is that as it says now, we have about 567 employees who will not be transferred into the department for various reasons. Others are resignations, retirements, others, contracts are ending. But as whether they are goals or not, at this stage, I won't be able to determine that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We will then proceed with the new questions. The second round on the new questions and short and to the point. One question. Remember. Mr. Chijonga, who else would like to come up on a new question? Now, it should be you, Mr. Chijonga.
Thanks, Madam Chair. My concern is about this migration of the work which needs to be coordinated. When there is no cooperation from the province, I wonder whether the department has identified the root cause and how it is addressing it, because if not, yes, we may say the transition is more and so on, but when the leg is not cooperating with the head, it can't be moved. Was there any identification of the root cause and how this cause is critical? How is it addressed? Thank you.
All right, you could also respond to this question. At the Swanee North College, the principal and the deputy, principal and the deputy principal are suspended on full pay, and there are also acting principals that are appointed. Again, we've got a deputy principal of the Selela College suspended on full pay for more than 4 years. Can you, because you see, we're dealing with scarce resources. So worse now, we're going to need more money. So how are you addressing this, and how are you going to ensure that this does not happen again? Suspended for 4 years.
Thank you very much, Chair. Son in law, Ms. Mbogo will respond to that one. It's a matter that can best be answered by Northwest Police. But when the matter was brought to our attention, we had to written back on the review of the entire full case through legal processes. I've been there, I think, about 3 times, engaging with all stakeholders and requested all the information that every one of them may have that has actually been the basis of taking that kind of action, including from the government as well. We've done that review. We've just completed it in January, and we will be going back to the college to actually pronounce on what are the findings are and what should happen at the department. So that was, it's unfortunate that it had to take four years, of which we agree it has, but it's a problem that we inherited as the Department of Higher Education and Training. I suppose some of the aspects that I'm not talking about as a result of the funds received, but we have brought it to a close now with only the communication of that in the college, and we'll be doing it quite very soon. That's all I know. Ms. Mbogo will answer that one.
The
Sonnenhof
said
that
the
Minister
of
it's a difficult question to answer, Honourable Member.
don't need these signing of these protocols. I don't know whether it's experience. You see, on your assets, are you happy? Because it is during these migration processes where assets disappear. And you need them to commit, because those assets should now be transferred to the department, because they are now the department's assets. And you have to account for those assets. This one needs to be closely monitored. That's where a lot of corruption normally takes place.
We are working on these matters. We have CFOs who are deployed in all these colleges, who are working there in developing the asset register as well, over and above other processes that we're having with AT in respect to the very same matter. Where there is no cooperation, it doesn't mean that we are not proceeding with a thorough audit of what we think should belong to the Department of Higher Education and Training. And at an appropriate time, we are going to put appropriate action to that effect. And of course, the provinces will not be left behind in respect of all those issues.
Okay. Thank you so much for the responses. We have to now end here with regards to interrogation of the presentation by the Department of Higher Education. We will now move on to the presentation by the Provincial Department of Education of Northwest. If you can introduce yourself, sir, so that we can at least know who is speaking and the authority that you're bringing as because we don't want the junior official who come in and give us information. When we ask questions, say, no, I'm going to go back.
Dr. Mona is my name. In terms of the outline of our approach to our presentation, I'll do the generic comment, and then the Chief Director for Human Resource Development will do the presentation, and the Chief Financial Officer will finalize the presentation, which includes the financial aspect. My general comments are really actually based on, but I need to start this by appreciating the presentation from Higher Education. But my comments are basically based on what I can regard as the alleged understanding of lack of cooperation between Higher Education and provinces. And unfortunately, I happen to be the only head of department here, not representing a collective view of what all the other provinces say. But from my own personal understanding, is that what has been really at the heart of lack of movement is simple, effective communication between higher education and provinces. And I think if this matter is not taken seriously, it has the implication of actually storing the big
was originated in the DHEC presentation, that we are one of the provinces that has not entered the AAC, but it is a result of the nature of appointment of our highest educators. The challenges that we found in terms of, the verification process in terms of secular aid, verification forms were filled by the higher educators, contract forms for the year 2015 up to December 2015 are completed. Attachment tests required in terms of qualifications and all the required documents are available. Forms that are incomplete are labeled ready for the DHEC to take note of. File application has been opened and all necessary documents are in sight. These files are to be taken to DHEC for new capture and the type of appointment used cannot be done for grammatical. We have been communicating with the HRC official at DHEC, Mr. Fanny Heinke, on this project. He is aware in terms of how we are going to deal with the transfer of the site staff. With regard to challenges in the verification process, and maybe that is the slide that also the question that was raised in terms of the under and unqualified identifiers, safety is not valid. Some of these identifiers have not submitted their certificate, and there are foreign visitors that have not yet submitted, that do not have the required treatment by Home Affairs. And all your time here, like I said in the previous slide, all our identifiers have completed the forms. Now, what we are seeing in the slide is the audit that we have done before we submit this information to DHEC. DHEC has not yet received this information. This is outstanding document that we need for this visitor in terms of them after completing the forms. And we are indicating there that 146 ICTs that are not appointable as a result of not having the necessary required appointments document. Because in terms of DHEC number 8, these are the required attachments in terms of the forms that we are completing. And I have to indicate that it's not all the ICTs that have identified this. We are in the process of verifying all qualifications of our ICTs that came from the mainstream, even foreign ICTs from the mainstream. And there are findings that we are getting that some of these foreign ICTs have not qualified as they indicated. In one case, we found that there were two ICTs who were using the same qualification. And upon verification, even with our DPE, and the institution where they said they had studied, we found out that those were fake certificates. So it's not only with this IAPS data that we are doing this process. In terms of TVET colleges staff to be transferred, we've got the pattern page and the college page. You'll note that on the pattern page, it gives us in terms of the three TVET colleges. In total, we've got 220. And in terms of treasury requirements, you can register a history control change for employees that are less than 500. And that is the reason why we do not also register the SEC for our personal employees and support staff. We will be doing them manually. We are in communication, like I indicated, with Mr. Van der Reyne, in terms of how we are going to deal with this part. DHEC has run a part of the college page in terms of them to check in the professor, and those that are initiated in this slide are those that are within the 63% threshold. In terms of the functional activities, all staff have been formed to assist and sign. COVID, they've done it, fully completed. Salela 95%, and they only have the corporate center to complete. Tadeto is running, is completed. The next activity is how the requirements of the discrepancy is identified. The first one is around the pay progression. We have identified that lecturers, not participants, ex-employees, were not in pay progression since 2010. And the reason was that they were not submitting assessment documents and so on. applied for this control sheet that was applied by the HEC. We are currently finalizing that, and it's our expectation that will be done on the 14th of March. I have indicated the issue of the FCC that we could not get to the FCC as a result of the number of our external employees on the system, and this will be done manually by the 31st of March. I'm now going to hand over to the NCCFO to deal with the rest of the presentation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, thank you, Mr. Tieti.
In terms of the three qualities,
Michael. You can introduce yourself.
We want to know exactly who is talking to us on this sensitive matter.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Robbie Phillips. I'm currently the acting senior manager for TVET colleges and the AET centers. Why I want to
5% increase. The total budget for 18, for 2014-15, was 31.48 million, and after programs 1 and 9 was included, the total budget for 2015-2016 is 43.99 million. The increase of 12.5 million has come from programs 1 and 9. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the presentation, Mr. Phillips. Honourable Member, I will now open the meeting for a discussion on the two presentations. And if I may remind you, the ground rules are that will now allow members to ask one question. I might give you a follow-up question so that you are satisfied on the response. There, we'll take it from there. Honourable Member Pozzoli, Honourable Member Kassim, Honourable Member Mkunu, Honourable Member Gagming, and Honourable Member Kilian. In that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, my comment or my question is, 12 million out of 31 is not 7% in that last figure there. But that's just a comment. My question is, in both cases, in the case of the Norman case, there are, from what I can see, 7.5 annexures to the protocol that are not signed. And in the case of Northwest, there are 10 annexures to protocols that are not signed. And yet you've both given very positive portrayals of how the move is going in your provinces. Does that mean that the annexures to the protocols aren't actually that important? Because the first, our first response, all of our first response when we saw all those annexures were signed, I think was quite a lot of shock. That, you know, these major aspects of transition have not been dealt with. But the way the provinces are presenting it is that actually, no, things are fine. Yes, we haven't signed a few annexes, but, you know, we're doing fine anyway. So if I could get a more balanced view, what actually is the problem with these annexes, and how serious is it?
I'm mostly captured. I just want to get the same answer on why provinces, and particularly the provinces that are present, why those emissions not being the compulsory plan, etc. Is there any other reason besides just not getting to it from the HOT? And my second comment is that at the beginning of the presentation, that was given by the HOT in the Northwest. It was said that there was a problem of communication between the department and the relevant provincial education departments. I'd like to get a comment on that from the Department of Higher Education Training in particular, because obviously it's been said now that there's not the correct communication taking place to the education department. If that is an issue, of course, it's in all of our interest to see how can that be improved in the critical period. And also to say that if there is no capacity in the provincial department, then that capacity must be made for this function, just because it's almost as if we are told that the responsibilities of the HIT is so much that there's not enough time to attend to the function shift efficiency. Now, this is obviously a very critical activity that's taking place that needs to be done with absolute care. If there is no capacity, then, or not enough capacity, then that needs to be looked into to see how can that be dealt with.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kulu.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question. I would like to know from Northwest, how did they employ foreign national results, verifying all required documentation? I realize that DGE has got a problem here. Because the
the information that was presented to us, and the department is not having the information. I just want them, the college to share with us why is that, what is the problem. And again, on the presentation they made mention of the verification which is not yet completed, and we are only left with 1 month. When is it going to be completed?
Thank you very much. Ms. Killian?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take another question because I was finally covered, but there is an outstanding matter. Could we see like the department's comment also on the requirements for such a certificate, Council of Education certificate, and just a comment from the Northwest if that was not a requirement in the past. So therefore, is that a new requirement of the moving these people to the DHMT? Is that the reason why 146 AA teachers are not appointable? What is the reason? Is it that 10 certificates? And what were the requirements in the past, Jesus? Did we have different, were they not norms and standards that were applicable to all provinces? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
But we then request you to, let's start with the Department of Education from Northwest. If you've got questions, if you could respond to those questions. I think we've got two questions.
The question that I have for my machine when I made a statement about effective communication. Here the point that I have to respond to why lack of progress. My view is that given the immensity and the complexity of the task, which has become an additional responsibility on an organization that has been actually outstretched by resignation of it because we have not been employing the point of time, our own staff have been doing the functions in addition to their core responsibility. Well, the point I'm getting at this point is supposed to have been perhaps outsourced from the beginning, given its complexity and given the fact that in education we are a really complex system. The rest of the question will have been disposed by colleagues. The issue of the unnecessary, I can guarantee that before or not before the 13th of this month we have responded to the unnecessary. But I still maintain that because this is our own meetings as a collective, we should not deny the fact that there has not been effective communication across all levels.
You can come in also responding to the second question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the question of how did we employ the foreign educators without the required documents, like I've indicated, that we have done the certification even with the mainstream educators, when we are certifying the qualification. That is the first part. The second part is on the issue of the work permit. Some have expired, some we verify again with Home Affairs, and we found that they were also not valid. It's part of the verification that we are doing. It's unfortunate that we did that because they provided that information, but it's unfortunate that we did that after the appointment, but those are the fake documents that were submitted. In terms of outstanding information, like we are indicating in the presentation, that this will not be submitted to the HEG, because what we are indicating here is that 140
Yeah, I just want to add a rider to what my colleague said as far as the why we have not appointed foreign teachers without verified qualification. For the general stream, for basic education, it's not easy for them to slip through. But as far as the APT is concerned, I think we need to appreciate the fact that at one stage it became such an event one. That's why they have actually really exceeded their quota in terms of appointing. That's what we want to bring in as an additional point. Yeah.
Thank you. Over to
another intake, Department of Education.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think the only one is the not signing of the NHS. All our protocols have been signed. It's only the NHS to the protocol that has not been signed, all of them. I will go back to my head of department and I will report accordingly, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable members, I take it that you are satisfied with the alright. I see the DG would like to come in. Over to you, DG.
There is a question that was asked, directed to us by Honorable Member.
Is somebody
else?
Okay. You know what we should do? Let's allow the responses to finish and then I will allow you. I can see there's a new hand. And okay, there's a new hand. All right. Now that's fine. Shall you respond and then we then get the next?
Then you should just quit. As a civil servant, when you are employed in government in terms of the public service and administration act, what is reflected in your job description is not the totality of the work that you will be doing for government. I think it's important to make that assumption. The second area is respect to communication. Throughout this process, there are four methods of communication that are there. One is the meeting between the minister and the MEC. We call it CM, in discussing all these issues, including the decisions that need to be taken at an executive level. Secondly, it's headquarters, the meeting of the Director General of the Department of Higher Education and Training and provincial HODs of Education Department, all their representatives, to actually process and take administrative decisions insofar as function is concerned. Subsequent to that, there are subcommittees that are working on specific dedicated areas, HR, finance, etc., which is including officials from all provinces in all these areas. Lastly, correspondence. It's not less than 14 correspondents that went out to the provinces in respect of this matter, as I could see reflected on the template, because we capture what we're doing on an ongoing basis. So I don't think communication could be a problem. And I don't remember any matter that has been referred to us by any province that requires our attention. It hasn't been attended to. So I think it answers the question that the Honorable Member raised in respect to communication. Thank you.
Question? From the Honourable Members, and this is the very last one. One question per member. Honourable Chishonga, who else? The member.
what happens to the salaries which they got, which they were not supposed to get. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chisonga.
Mr. Batasa.
Thank you. Chair, I just want to appreciate the response from the DG, because I was a little bit worried when his colleague from Northwest was responding on communication. One of the things I asked earlier was the political authority of the decision. I'm guessing that at least you have tabulated the decision that the MSC is the minister and the HODs and yourself. Because these deadlines would have never been possible if those necessary steps were not followed. However, I do note that if you stiffness responses even in front of members coming from the dear doctor there like that, it means that a measure of resistance has been in the blood of some of your colleagues in the manner in which they appreciate the project. I don't think they were committed in the first place, because it's not possible that over a period of more than 5 years, you do something step by step, and you're not responding positively all the time, and then you still blame communication. It looks like you are actually putting a blame on someone else. Communication, by the way, is a process between yourself as an official and the head, and the process between the head and the MEC. And all those clarities must always be conveyed if somebody is arguing on the policy issues. But we cannot stop government calls on the basis of dissatisfaction and egos.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Kidian?
Chairperson, my question was partly covered by Honorable Chonga, but I wanted to understand better what the consequence management is going to be in the case of Northwest, and since the Northern Cape is here, if they could also just tell us if they have mechanisms and systems in place to make sure that whoever they place in any future position, be it an educator or in the case of colleges, lecturers or adult education training centers, that those are, well, obviously the shifters are going, but do they verify qualifications? And make sure that they take action against people who present fake qualifications.
Thank you. Mr. Kitani?
And this is also on the employment of foreign nationals without the necessary required documentation. I'm not talking about the qualifications for the profession, but I'm talking about documentation to process who must have foreigners in the country, whether permanent permit or temporary employment permit, those type of things, just allowing foreigners to be in the country for employment purposes. What I want to check is why in the first place are we employing foreign teachers? Is it because of testing? Is it where we're lacking good math teachers, good science teachers, even climate science, accountancy, either one teachers? Because if that is the case, I would definitely want to know what is being happening. And at one stage, there was proposal that because of the scarcities, we should rather exempt those foreigners in this area so that they can boost the need, the dire need for scientists, like engineers in their country. The question is why employ these foreign teachers. I know with humanitarian and social sciences, there is usually enough teachers in their country, but the scarcity is that a problem.
Thank you
very much. I will then ask for response. Thank you. Over to, okay, Northwest wants to come in and yeah, okay, we'll take it.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. The questions are first
what I would encourage between the department and the stakeholders is that I think outside this they can engage with one another so that they are at every stage informed of this migration process. It will be in the best interest of this country to do that. I will then ask the DG to make a closing statement, and that will be followed by my closing statement. So thank you once more to all the stakeholders for showing interest in our work and for all your input in this meeting, even outside of this meeting. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. No, mine is only to thank the honorable members to take interest on this important yet so difficult function. And the if this work becomes so difficult in a province, how much more to us, because we have seen 9 provinces all as a whole without any sense in our budget, where we will provide every step of the way. Because currently the budget for the running and service of both adult education and training as well as civil quality still residing in the province. It is a very difficult process. It's quite very painful. But I think the officials in the department and the cooperation that we get from provinces have enabled us to be where we are today. And we think we'll be able to manage what will be consequential with respect to the transfer of staff with effect from the 1st of April. And I have thanked the honorable members for all the support. We've been interacting quite closely, even your oversight visit to these institutions. And your engagement, as well as elevating the issues that we're dealing with, have actually made us better, and I hope it will continue being in that way. So we really appreciate the support that you are giving to us as a department, especially the administrators, because that's where implementation is taking place. And if not, if you have to spend that night, but with your support, we are able to stand up every morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. I know you're speaking on behalf of everybody, including the stakeholders. Well, from our side, let me take this opportunity and thank the honorable members for availing themselves for this meeting and also for their state of preparedness for these meetings. Thank you very much. Indeed, we had a robust engagement. But also, I would like to thank the DG, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, the DG, these ones in absentia, but the DG and your team for the progress report in the CVET and AET sector migration process. It is indeed progress. There is no doubt about it. Well, I would like to commend also the National Implementation Task Team for the progress in the implementation of this migration process that was proclaimed in 2009, but I know that the actual migration started in 2012, but today we are almost on our final stage of the migration process. Thank you so much to the task team for your hard work. Nobody said it would be easy, so but what we see now is progress. Keep up the good work. I would also like to make an observation that whilst our observation is that a lot of work has been done, there is still much, much more work to be done at DG. Indeed, we have to complete this migration process so that we can then focus on running these TVET colleges and the AET colleges effectively and efficiently. So we have to complete this process. We cannot go on and on. for the wisdom in appointing chartered accountants. I listened carefully because I was wondering how you're going to get it right. Unless you have the right people, you will not be able to make it. But the moment you mentioned chartered accountants, I became comfortable to oversee the HR, financial, and physical resource matters. What was interesting was to learn about employees who are paid by the provincial department, but then the provincial department claims from the department. Well, in this regard, I will appeal to the DG, but also to Mr. Trudeau to ensure timely payment to the province. Because remember, they are now using the budget they don't have. So, but fortunately, they are able to pay. So that you pay them on time. Also to ensure and maintain this good intergovernmental relations. So, timely payment, I think that's what we're looking forward to the department. Our concern, though, is on the delayed measure of the AET into community colleges due to inadequate information. Lucky enough, they did not say inadequate finances. We really would appreciate an improvement in this area of work because we don't want any work lagging behind. We will request that DG, you submit a progress report of the task team on community colleges because that team was put in place so that we are enabled to monitor this area of work closely and assist where we need to assist as the committee. If we can get this report in the next quarter, in your quarterly report, next quarterly report, we'll appreciate it. With these few words, thank you so much. I really would like to maybe must take a 5 minute break so that we allow you to pick up maybe a cup of tea. We have another meeting at 1. There's lunch, huh? Honourable members, I know we have another meeting. The ladies have got another meeting at 1. Maybe you should tell me. Maybe let's break this meeting, have our lunch, and then look at the next item in the next meeting. So it's about adopting minutes. So we can go and adopt this minute. And we're supposed to have some work in terms of last meeting resolution. Unfortunately, time does not allow it. So all I remember, the meeting says adjourned. Thank you.
Yes, on the 11th, yes, treasury. as my workplace knows that, that I'm the admin, I need to get more information so that we know how to also submit our child.
Yes, please. said it's the same report that he said.
It's the same report.
It is the same report.
Yeah, I'm
not satisfied.